What is supernatural about Christian meetings? In this teaching, we want to see how to make the most of meetings. How to make the most of meetings. How can I guarantee that I will always be blessed in a meeting? Last week, I spoke briefly on this subject. And I told us that, you know, the scriptures begin with what is supernatural. In Genesis 1, when there was darkness, God spoke light. Why? How? By the Spirit of God moving. In Matthew 28, from verse 18, Jesus gave a commission. And in verse 20, he says, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." In Acts, so by Luke, he wrote and said, you know, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from high." In John chapter 20, from verse 21, he breathed on them and told them to receive the Holy Ghost. And he told them, "Whatsoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Whatsoever sins you retain, they are retained." So we saw that Christianity what we have believed is supernatural. We believe in the resurrection, that Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead. None of us here saw him, but we believe it happens, and it is a supernatural occurrence. We believe we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 6:19. And that is something which is supernatural. The gospel was preached unto us to believe on the Lordship of Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 10, verse 8 to 10. And we believe that. And when we believe that, we believe that the Holy Ghost came and started staying on the inside of us. So, we believe in the supernatural. Say, "I believe in the supernatural." I believe many of us who are here believe in heaven and hell. You believe there's heaven, right? You believe there's hell. Have you ever seen heaven? No. It is a supernatural something. So, we believe the supernatural. In the book of Mark chapter 16, and Jesus was giving a commission and said that preach the gospel to every creature. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. You know, they'll take up deadly things and it will not harm them. And so on and so forth. And we believe those are supernatural signs that follow a believer. The fact that you speak in tongues means you believe in the supernatural. Because Paul will tell us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he will say that if I speak in tongues, my mind is unfruitful. Howbeit by the Spirit, I utter mysteries. So as I speak in tongues, I speak by the Spirit, I speak in the Spirit, and I speak unto God. How about God? We believe in a God we have never seen. He's a supernatural, he's a spiritual God. And that God told us, "Where two or three are gathered," in Matthew 18, "in my name." Where two or three are gathered in my name. He doesn't say where two or three are gathered in a church building. Hello? Where two or three are gathered in my name. People can gather in a church building to do an auction. People can gather in a church building to do a fashion show. Some of you have ever seen fashion show in church. People can gather in church building to do a talent show. And then we think that when we Christian anything with God or gospel, it becomes gospel or of God. We can say, you know what, God wants to accept everyone's talent, so we bring comedians in church. What we have is a comedian in church. We don't have a gospel comedian. In any case, you should feel weird about making fun of spiritual things. Making fun of spiritual things means you are not valuing them. You know, some of you, I see you post on your status, people who are laughing at those who are speaking in tongues. That's bad. You are trivializing something which is sacred, something which is spiritual. So, we are people who are born into the supernatural, and we are people that believe the supernatural. Can I hear an amen? Amen. But what happens more often than not, now for instance, every single person who is gathered here who has believed the gospel has the Holy Spirit in them. Ask your neighbor, "Do you have the Holy Spirit in you?" If they don't answer, they don't have. Lead them to the Lord's Prayer. Do you have the Holy Ghost in you? So if you have the Holy Spirit in you, then you are supernatural. Say, I'm supernatural. Amen. I am of the Spirit. I'm born of the Spirit. They must say, Jesus is living in me. But we act like Jesus ain't living in us. We act like we have no recognition of a Jesus living in us. What happens? Many of us lose the consciousness of our supernatural spiritual aspect, especially when we come together. When we come together, we forget that we have gathered in His name. We can even quote the verses, Matthew 18. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. And then when we gather, we act like He ain't there. Munonya aliwa Yesu wange tombi tangako ulo kozi. We act like He's not there. We can even be when we have just quoted, God is with us. But a lack of recognition. And then I told you, many times the people we think that they are experts in the things of God, in the things of the Spirit. I know pastors here, someone has asked you, but how do you stay on fire? You have a chotto on the inside of you. You just don't know how to stake the fire. How many of you have ever cooked with firewood? You know, there's when the fire is going down and you do the... what is cessa in English? You say sin, eh? And then it stirs up again. But the capacity for that stirring is in there in that wood. That fire, which is... You see someone and say, how do you keep on fire? They have a Holy Ghost and they do not grieve Him. How don't you grieve the Holy Ghost? To grieve is to quench the Spirit's fire. In other words, the Spirit of God in you is raging and wants to rage. You are the one who puts a lid on you.
Okay, calm down. Don't swear to the church.
And some of us are like that.
God, don't you see me?
So you act like you're all composed. I just want to be composed in the presence of the Lord. And you're quenching the fire. You pray in small letters. But you celebrate your football team in capital letters. When they tell you to rejoice, like, then when Azawi comes on, someone says, you see, that's what I'm talking about. In other words, they should say God and you just, hey! Hallelujah! Because the Spirit fire is always ready. See, that's why you rejoice when I just say that name and you... When they say God, you just feel something boiling on the inside of you. I'm going to attack a table, kakash, but then we come and say, Tega idide. Mukama vede namwe. Like we're composed. Because we forget we are supernatural. We forget we have the Holy Ghost. You see, that's why Musumba can't get it. You sing, Nungamya. But sometimes we sing, we'll be singing the words. I don't even know what we have. You can find someone singing words and they are doing the opposite. I lift my hands, you know. And they are seated. Singing, I lift my hands. Where are your hands? While you can do those dancing moves like this. When I say two steps to the left on your favorite song, you do two steps to the right. You see, you can follow instructions. You just don't like to follow godly ones. Amen. Amen. So see, the starting system is on the inside of you. It's not outside. I told you should come when you're ready boiling. Do you know why it is very easy for you to yield to Azawi? Is it Azawi or Azari? That one. It's easy for you because you do church twice a week and you're only attentive for 1 hour of all the four or five. But the whole week, In the morning as you go, you're listening to Azawi. At lunchtime, you're listening to Azawi. In the evening, you meditate on Azawi. The next day, you wake up, you watch Schofield. At around you do Azawi. You see, this is the thing. This is what people don't know. So you are training yourself to yield to Azawi. The same way us who spend the whole week or so meditating and surrounding ourselves with spiritual things, we know how to yield to the same. Because that is the predominant thing in our lives. It's not difficult. If you're struggling with God in a service, it's because the whole week you've been dancing with the devil. Yes. I'm not going to hide it. It's true. Let me tell you, there is no way you should struggle in a service to yield to who you are. You have just looked so much at who you are not, that when it comes to yielding to who you are, you struggle. I know some of you. You are very lively. On birthdays, you mobilize. You do what? You send messages. You organize groups. You keep everyone in a group engaged. Is evangelism. Well, you say pastor is hard. It's not difficult. It's your meditation. Am I lying? You know in your heart. You're also seeing it, eh? So people we call experts, they are not experts. They just know how to practice these things. Some people ask me, how do you know many scriptures? They talk like when I'm sleeping, God can put them in my head. You go and ask my wife. Scriptures can't enter your head by osmosis. If you see someone doing something well, it's because they are giving it good time. Amen. So they are not experts on spiritual things. They are only people who, by reason of exercise, have learned how to discern between good and evil. Some people say, marriage is work, right? Remember that statement? Marriage is work. But you think your spiritual walk with God is not work. Right? You just say, you come on Sunday and you receive grace. That's why those churches where they lie to you. You are taking, you're taking, you're taking, you're taking. Sometimes people like that. Because it attaches no responsibility to them. Because you came here today, your life is changing now. You'll never lack any single day of your life. As you hear in that statement, you also go and do things which people who don't lack do. Yes. That is your action. If you stay home, you'll be like the people who stay home. You'll get the results of people who do what? You know those results. Students don't want to study. They come to church to receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation. To pass law. That one is spiritual understanding. He says, the Holy Spirit will bring all these things to your remembrance. Whatever you did not learn, you can't remember. I will send the Spirit of Truth and He will bring it to your heart. How can you remember what you don't know? Do you remember when you were in Istanbul? You have never been there. No, but you will go. See, but you can't remember being what? While you watch to get there. So, you must exercise yourself to righteousness. Like the writer of Hebrews will say. So many of us, when we come to church, we forget the supernatural aspect that we are. Say, my consciousness, has to be supernatural. I have a supernatural consciousness. That means when you're in this place like this, you have a supernatural consciousness. Something supernatural can happen. Here. Because you have a supernatural consciousness. But if you came to church and you started your countdown timer, is what you will receive. You will receive time. You will know what time the choir sang, what time the pastor preached. But you come with a supernatural expectation, you will receive the supernatural. Amen. It's not very different, by the way. The power of God was present to heal. Other people were present to argue. In the same room. In the same room. So the issue most times is not with the word of God. Most times it may not also be with the minister. It is with my attitude. What attitude do I have when I come to church? Business people. If they told you, you know, in all our fields, there are people we think these are serious guys, right? They are, like, if they brought them in a conference and they are keynote guys, how many of us have attended conferences like that where they bring a big boy on something, you know, a big boy? Let me give you an example. Like if they say, Bill Gates is coming to give a keynote speech. You know, all people who are involved in software, what, they will attend that meeting. They will come with notebooks. And they will be attentive to receive absolutely that. And they will pay whatever price is necessary to be in that meeting and to receive what that man has to say. Even if he says things he has written in a book you have read, even if he says things which you can find on a podcast, but you come with this attention. In fact, you may hear something you have heard before, but because of the value you have attached to it, the way it hits, it is forever settled. Hallelujah. Do you have people like that? If I say that this person is an expert, I remember when Pastor Shogu first came to Uganda. I was attentive. Guy. I switched off all my phones. I fasted. I consecrated. I ironed my clothes. I sat in front on the first row, on the first chair. I never looked left or right like I'm crossing the road. Like this. I don't think in that meeting there is anything he had said I'd not found in some of the stations before. But I was attentive. I made up my mind. What will happen when they lay hands on me? That they will lay hands on me. I told myself what I will receive in that meeting. I told myself what will change. I told myself what I wanted to receive. I went ready. Completely ready. Amen. That is an attitude that receives. Amen. When he came to Nairobi, I went to Nairobi. I sat. Now, I thought, for us, we had paid the price to be there. There are guys who came from Sudan. They traveled on a lorry. They were on the road for 2 days. They reached that morning. They were the first guys at the conference hall. Actually, as Ugandans and those Sudanese guys, were always the first guys at the meeting. Because for us, we have come from far. We know why we have come. We didn't come to take selfies. Amen. Came to receive something. I remember one of these days he said, tomorrow this and this is going to happen. So take a fast, take some time and pray. I used to walk a long distance to the hotel, some good distance. So I fasted. I walked to that place early. He started preaching like this. Before they call people to lay hands on them, I had already received. That is the attitude you carry to a Christian meeting. You understand it is supernatural. Now, there are some people who are there, maybe they say, these teachings are hard. No. You must have a consciousness of the supernatural. What else does it mean? It means, if my neighbor has the Holy Ghost, I must see them a certain way. The way I see people in a Christian meeting is the way I'll receive from God. Amen. See, this church gathering is a supernatural meeting. God is here. Who believes God is here? Say, God is here. Is God here by faith or God is really here? But do you know why God is here? God is here because you're here. You don't believe it? You know, look through the Old Testament. Look through rather the whole Bible. How was God working? God was working through men, right? God was working through. See, you must learn how to value men. Because the value you put on men is the value you put on God. I didn't say it by mistake. I'm going to say it again. By men, I also mean women. You know, these days you cannot be too careful. You must learn how to value men and women. Because the value you put on men and women is the value you put on God. Two powerful scenarios in the whole Bible. Two powerful scenarios. Okay, there are many, but there are these two powerful ones. Pastor, in Acts chapter 9, Paul was on the road to Emmaus, going to persecute, not Damascus, not Emmaus. He was going to persecute Christians. He received a vision, and the Lord came to him. The Lord Jesus, Yeshu, came to Paul. Paul lost his sight. Do you know what Jesus told Paul? Jesus told Paul, one of the things I said, why do you persecute me? Why do you kick against the gods? Then he told him, he sent him to the scripture tells us in Acts, a certain disciple, not an apostle, not a prophet. Why didn't he send him to Peter? But the scripture tells us he sent him to a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. He sent Paul to Ananias. Listen, Jesus came to a man and sent him to another man. Yeah? Some of us, we want to see. I want to know you. I want to see your face. I don't want to see men. I want only God. So you go in a mountain and hide in a rock. You will come back with dust in your hair. The whole time God is telling you, go to that man. And he will show you the way. He said, no, God. You are the God of the secret place. Now, it is a place where I will find you where? In the secret place. You will see a small God. The man had the vision of Jesus. Not an angel. Jesus. Jesus sent him what? As if that was not enough, like some people would miss it. In the very next chapter, Oga Cornelius, big boy, is a big boy both naturally and spiritually, he's also a big boy, a devout man. Cornelius, I like this guy. People who have people you stay with, be like this guy. He was called Cornelius, a centurion of a band called the Italian band. You know, like Oluwawa Erigun, Tomanyewa. This man was known. What happened? A devout man. He feared God with all his house. He did fear God alone, Pastor. He took his house on the mission. If you see some of you, if there are people you feed at home, you close them. They sleep in your house. How are they telling you they are not coming to your church? On which duty? No. A devout man, even the jailer, he believed and also his family. Them come here, please listen to this gospel here. If I'm paying your school fees, you come to my church. Amen. Hey, don't pay for people in diaspora. Okay. So this is the lesson for you who have people. They have to know your God. Let them do family altar. If you do it, let them do it. You are doing house church in your house. What you are worried, sir? Then bali mu kisenge balaba kazanyo. On your electricity. Ngambe katende sawa ya kusabateli kazanyo. He gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Next verse. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour, there is a time of prayer. Write it. Don't just say, may I just pray? I even don't know how long I've prayed or when I've prayed. Please, if you want to sustain a life of prayer, have a time you pray. If you pray whenever, you will not always. And you know, I just look at the day. I see how the day goes. Then, depending on where it's going, I can usually or not. This is the wisdom I always give people. You who have unpredictable days, do your devotion first before you leave the house. Have you heard? Do your devotion first before you leave. Don't say when I come back. When you say I come back, even the enemy hears. That is how someone will call you for tea in the evening. And you say, Pastor told us to be among people. In your prayer time. He saw a vision. An angel of God came to him and said unto him, bro, Cornelius, what has happened? He was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial up to God. Amplify this thing for me. I like it so much. The angel said, your prayers and your generous gifts to the poor have come up as a sacrifice to God and have been remembered by him. Amen. Then what happened? An angel came to him but told him to send men to Joppa and call for Simon, who is Peter. Do you know what that means? An angel sent him to a man. You know what I'm saying? So you must value men. God values men. You must value men. So when you come to a meeting, place value on the people in the meeting. One time I had Bill Johnson, he was teaching on honor some years back. He said a very powerful statement. He said, sometimes God will put what you need in a person you don't like. See, you see that neighbor you are kuzalawaring, you say, no, no. That person may have the word you need. Now even your apostle hasn't seen it. But because you have trivialized them, you say, who is this guy? It even look like he's not fasting. You sit, maybe you sit next to Peter, you say, God, this Peter is big. I don't think he has God. Eh? You are looking for a slim guy with dry lips. Brother Michael, eh? Said, this one, he looks fervent. Leave this one. Look like you don't pray. You must learn to value people. Because God will do things through people. Even the money you need will come through people. You must learn to value men. This is even more general. Don't just abuse people. Don't just disrespect people. Some of us change after we find out you're a person. No, that's not honor. Honor, respect everyone. When you find out who they really are, you are not repenting. I know someone here, you people, when I teach on honor, I'll teach this. They went in a company of different people. They were planning for a function. So they were apart. So they were among people from different places. But someone there noticed how they carried themselves. How they referred to everyone as sir or ma'am, how they honored people, how they respected them. He said, there's something peculiar about this person. So he called them. I want to talk to you. There's, you know, because they were just honoring people because that's who they have grown. Don't have to first wait to hear, hey, that one is a pastor. Hey, sir. And that person opened to them a very, very big door just because of the way they saw their conduct. A very big door. When you're praying, God answers your prayer through people. Do you know in this church there are people who can employ you? But then when they look at you, you don't carry a Bible to church. You'll be thinking, oh, not at all. You don't make notes. Huh? Sometimes you're picking a phone call in church, they say this person is not employable. Let me tell you, not everyone employs you based on your academic papers. I hope you know that. There are people who just observe you. And if this is a good person, then they'll come and ask you, what do you do? You tell them, you're asking. Someone wants to help you, but way particular. Ask you, ah, hello, sir, how are you? What do you do? I'm the righteousness of God. You will eat righteousness all your life. It's just common courtesy. You carry yourself well. You'd be a good person. I remember when I was staying alone, this is a very funny story. When our wedding ended, we came back home. One of my neighbors now told my wife, this is a very funny story. He said, I know this guy. He has never brought any girl here. He's a good man. True story, you can ask. That's what the guy said. Right? I mean, that's a good commendation. I think it also makes my wife feel good. Yeah. You know what? He's not a striker. All right. Yeah, now I've understood the parable. Amen. Someone wants to bless you. Then they Google you, and what they see is like, eh? Sister Nawete Minga is a spice girl. But you see, so there must be a way you look at people. If you're greeting people, if you're an usher, say, greet, respect everyone. Let me tell you, you don't know who is here. You don't know who is here. So you behave well. But when it comes to church, you must value the supernatural meeting. Some people, you come to church, they tell you, you're welcome, sir. Can you please sit there? You say, why? They tell you, could you kindly say, may I want? See, when you start like that, you have already decided you won't receive. Because your words carry your consciousness. Eh? Someone is ushering you there and say, yeah, young man. You know, it's okay. I'll be fine. I'll be fine. Don't worry. They tell everybody else to stand up, you sit. They tell everybody to lift your hands, you fold your hands. When they call you for an interview, you humble yourself like sweet potatoes which have been put in banana leaves. The secretary tells you, Jacob, yes, it's me, madam, me. He said, come for the interview at 9 a.m. At 6:15, you are there at the gate with Askari. You say, Askari, how do you find this place? How? 7, go to the shop. You have revised, you have put on your Sunday best, you have ironed, you have put on a tie. You're not telling anyone, it is hot, why have I put on a tie? sit properly. He said, Jacob, a little girl like this at the reception, you say, ma'am. And then you sit there, feel this thing. Okay. Excuse me, ma'am, can I perhaps pardon me if it is it possible? I was just wondering, because if I can, probably maybe borrow your pen. You have apologized 40 times. It's in church, Sunday morning, you snooze. Even tell your invitees, church starts at 9, 8 is prayer. So you walk in like you're entering your bedroom. When you are looking for what you just look, you picked whatever is available to dress up, you came. You now enter, you start intimidating the preachers with your look. Sometimes someone is there, they want to give instructions. They just say what you're looking, they say, oh, let's just talk good. Why? Some of you can want to intimidate. Because you think it's church, anything slides. You get out your phone. Who of you goes to sit with your boss and he says, you know, Jacob, I want to talk to you. You go there with your phone. Just go in the notebook. Yes, sir. I want you to deliver 20 boxes. Don't ask me for transport. Yes, sir. Is that all, sir? Yes, that's all. But also help me take my clothes to the dry cleaner. Anything else, sir? He's charged. But why? Many of you, your workplaces, they make you stay longer than your contract. You have never complained. Am I lying? We're signing a contract 8 to 5. Every day you leave at 8. Am I lying? You say, can you step behind and do this work? You had something to do. You say, I'll stay. Wednesday, you say, I'll stay Thursday. Church, they just enter your 20 minutes. You fold your mouth. Some people just even stand up. They fold. They stand up. They even move the chair to show you they have stood up. Church. It's idolatry. Anything you value more than God is an idol. Anything you value more than God is an idol. So many of us lack that supernatural recognition. So this is a supernatural meeting. Do you know why the tabernacle? Not every Tom, Dick, Harry would enter. Because it is a holy place. And they called it the house of God. So when the man was coming, everything was planned to the breeches he put on. The breeches, boxers. Everything was meticulous. You wash 5, kakutane, you wash 6. Because there is a hallowedness. They are attached to the house of God. There is a value they are attached to meeting. There is a consecration they are attached to meeting. Because I'm going in the house of God. I'm telling you, want to come to church in the morning and you're listening to Beat FM. You see, because you're not consecrating yourself. You should have already started. You have listened to some worship music along the way. You know, you have read through some few scriptures. You are in a hallowed moment. That's why sometimes I miss the what we call like religious churches. You know, my parents were Catholic. I was taken to the Catholic church from the time I can't remember. And we sit in the church. I don't think I remember any sermon. But there were these women in the church who would come and pinch our ears when we were talking. Everybody remembers those women? Yeah, church chief with me. They turn your ear properly like this. And you shut up. But now, we come with our children to church. We just let them be their children. I'm touching some people, right? Let me ask you a question. Do your children always make noise everywhere they go? Or it is in church that you let them be?
Ooh, don't talk about people's children if you want peace. So I've stopped.
Order. Sometimes we don't have order. Someone can walk in any time. Because God is what? We can say God accepts us. I think that's what we say. Value. Recognition. The words you use as you come to church, they carry your consciousness. Don't enter a church and start with complaining. Say, ah. Sometimes people are praying for certain things, but you have used your words negatively. And it's like it's a war. It's a war. Because for you, you have already determined. You know, sometimes for people who pray for people will know this. When you're praying for people, sometimes there are people you jump. Because there's something you can sense. Some people you sense they are already rejecting you. But there's an attitude you can have. Because what? You recognize. Imagine you looked at the preacher or someone who stood in front of you and said, that's God's messenger. In this moment, that person is God's mouthpiece. In this moment, God is ministering to me through that person. In this moment, God is talking to me. And he uses a man. So when you come to church, the first thing to know is the gathering of the church is the gathering of the Spirit. We are gathered here in a spiritual sense, in a supernatural sense. Okay? Hallelujah. This place is holy. The supernatural works through men. The supernatural works through men. So, I know that is the gathering of the Spirit. Matthew 28 verse 20. So what should I do in a place where God is? If I establish that God is here, what should I do in a place where God is? In Genesis chapter 28 verse 11, quickly. Genesis 28. Are we learning something? Again, I'm not attacking anyone directly. I just want us to learn these things because they will help us receive and be fruitful. Now, this is Jacob. He had gone, you know, somewhere. And he put stones down on a pillow to sleep. And he dreamt a dream. Oh, kabru vakisa katulapa. Should be the next verse. He dreamt and behold, a ladder set up on earth. And the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Supernatural activity. That is angelic. Now, heaven will represent the supernatural, but earth is where he is. Now, when he got a pillow, let me read it at once and then I explain. Look at verse 18. In verse 18, he said, of course, after he had encountered the Lord and the angel, Jacob rose up early in the morning and took a stone that he put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon it. That is where the essence of anointing came. Now, you're anointing because this something is special. This something is what? Is special. So that's why when David was chosen of the Lord, the prophet Samuel anointed him with what? Oil is not the anointing. The man is separated and set apart of God. Then oil is a symbol that this person is different. Is separated. So, a stone, which was a normal stone, another person can come and grind their knife on. Because this man had an encounter there. He says, this is now holy. So, he anoints it. But you know what is interesting? When he slept, did you notice that the angels were ascending and descending? They were not descending and ascending. Because the place of angelic activity is on earth. And all angels, ministering spirits, sent to minister. Four! Not two. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14. Angels are ministering spirits. They are servants sent to serve those. So they were ascending and descending. Angels serve men, not God.
You can be in a place with angelic activity, but because you lack recognition, like how this man did not first have recognition, you can miss it. That's why I said, this is the Lord was here and I knew it not. How many people are coming to services every week and the Lord is there and they knew it not? Now, can we say right now, there is no time we have ever gathered in His authority, that is in His name, where God has never been. Kativala, how many services have you attended? Buri service they were attending, God was there. Oh.
Hallelujah.
That's what we are saying. Every service, God was there. God is there. You didn't recognize. Are we learning something? Am I helping you? Recognition is what is most often usually lacking. Recognition is important. How do you see things? And this is a point of caution. For people who serve on Sunday, you know, people who serve, like, you come here and you set the chairs, you know how this room was, you are ushering, you can become carnal. You can lose the recognition. You can start to treat it as normal. I mean, we set up those chairs, we put those microphones. So, you lose track of what is supernatural. That's why sometimes people say, for me, when I'm serving, I don't feel ministered to. The issue is recognition. Now, I'm not even saying you're not recognizing the preacher, but you have lost recognition of the meeting. You are worried about maybe sound, what mic. So you keep moving around, you can lose the essence of the meeting. Am I lying? You're looking for everything. You are like who? Martha. And you're making food for Jesus. It's not bad, but you have lost recognition. So when you're serving, especially in the ministry or in church or in Sunday, sustain, speak in tongues, our Lord. Stay active. As you serve, whatever you're doing, have a recognition that it is still spiritual. Sometimes we think what you're doing is not spiritual. So you usher, you think, I'm just greeting people. You're playing an instrument, you think, I'm just playing an instrument. You're registering names, you're thinking, I'm just registering him. You lose the recognition. Sometimes we get used to people. You know, you can leave the house with someone, and when they reach here, they take on a completely different office. When you are in church, that neighbor you're seated with is not just your friend. That's why in this church we use terms like sister so and so, brother so and so. It is not just a title. It is recognition. We say pastor so and so. Even if he's your father, your brother, in the office is pastor so and so. You don't just say by his name. Because when you just say by his name, you're receiving that your friend. How many of you ever since you started doing this, it has helped you to value people? You know those days, you'd finish service because maybe Robert and Sylvia, they know each other. They would just get out as Robert and Sylvia. Ah, man, Robert, Chichina, is it? Oh, Siniki, I'm calling you. You know, like, you can't, you know. I'm sorry for the language. But, you know, you say that. Now, Brother Robert may have a prophecy for you, but you have received Robert. Kati brother, ati kati prophet brother Robert, ati tasovela kula gulanga msinisiza. See, when you recognize someone somehow, you already choose how they will minister to you. You already choose what to receive from them.
You must learn to be spiritual. It's not Boo in church. It's not even Brother Boo and Sister B. You recognize. How many of you this calling people sister and brother has helped you receive our Lord? Someone gave me a word after church last service. But imagine they came to you, man, Ugamachi man. They will just take back the word they have for me. But you must learn to recognize people. Grow in this thing. I say, we are feeling like it's kind of our... No, grow in this thing. It will help you. People who are married, I'm talking to you. It's not always your bae. Sometimes you want the man of God to pray for you, but he's in your house. He has prayed for some people and things have worked. But for you, he's just your husband. You know, sometimes... Okay, actually, my wife honors me as a man of God. Eh? Sometimes there's money my wife gives me as her pastor. Then there's a gift for a husband on the birthday. Eh? There's a gift for Boo and a gift for Emoji. I'm telling you a story. I don't know why she stopped. Some time back, maybe the prayer worked. Every morning before she would go to work, she would say, "Bless me," before I go to work. And the prophet would be lying in bed and doing like this. Amen. By the way, discipling your spouse takes a great deal of spirituality. It's not easy at all. Even for me, by the way, it's not easy. I would have rather she's in there. But she's my wife. Yeah. People who are married know what I'm talking about. You know, there's a difference between giving instructions to your disciple and giving instructions to your wife. I hope you know. No, some people know. Yeah. The wife may be annoyed at the husband, but the disciple has to not be annoyed at the what? At the pastor. That is being spiritual. So we must learn these things. Otherwise we're cheating ourselves. Hallelujah. So I must have recognition. I recognize that the meeting is supernatural. You can play for me as we prepare to close. I must know that God is here. Say, God is here. God is the head of this meeting. And God is the reason for this meeting. So every time you come to church, you must carry recognition. Who is so and so? That one is a pastor. That one gives instruction. Who is so and so? That one is my ministry leader. When I'm going to his ministry, I must receive instructions from him. Who is so and so? When we go back home, he's my boy. He's my boy. We chill. But when we are here, he's my pastor. Now, this doesn't mean that you don't have a good relationship. For instance, pastor is my pastor, he's my father, and he's also my friend. Pastor Monica is also one of my very good friends. But we still maintain the necessary recognition. I think for them, they do it much more. Because for me, I wouldn't mind if my pastor just called me by my name. I don't. That's my pastor, right? That's my father. Your father can call you by your name. Right? But there is no time, actually. I don't remember the last time pastor addressed me by just my name. I don't remember. Casual meetings, non-casual meetings, social media, I do not remember the time. Even Pastor Monica. And my friends, and my pastor, and my parents, so the relationship can get. But you must have recognition. Now, some of us think this is too much, but it helps. You know, instead of being with my friends, Pastor Victor is in that group. Brother Nathan, Brother Pete. One of my friends, like Pastor David, told me, he changed the way he calls me in his phone. Like even my pastor, I don't call him Pastor G in my phone. Maybe you say Apostle P, I don't know. APP. But he says when I call him and he sees Apostle Paul, there is a way he organizes himself. Is anybody like that? Like if you receive a phone, my wife knows me when pastor calls me. That's a phone call. I arrange everything. If I'm in the bathroom, they tell me pastor has called. Because sometimes it's how just you have called the person in your contact. Pastor Godwin says double S. Oh! Yes, sir. If your pastor calls you and you don't tremble, there's a recognition you're lacking. I still tremble, me. I've not done anything wrong. My wife says, what is pastor calling about? The other day, pastor called. I said, Pastor Tusi, we had just come from a meeting. We had not hit the target. I said, Pastor said, I want to see you guys tomorrow. I just said, 2:30. I told my wife, Sabiri, Nekat is in here. If I don't come back, give my TV to give. That's how I meet my pastor. I don't know about you. He said, let's have a meeting tomorrow at 7. I slept late. I woke up at 6 like from an earthquake. I told my wife, pastor has called us. Now, the one thing is this. I reached there. My pastor, Ronald, has not yet come. I said, they're going to first kill me alone. By the time Pastor Ronald will come, Maura will be correct, but he's left. Amen. It's not man worship. It's recognition. That's the kind of thing that enables you to receive an every meeting. So what is special about Christian meeting is that God is here. What is special about Christian meeting is that you are here and God is functioning through you. See, some of us say God is everywhere, but everywhere is not consecrated. God may be, you may say God is also in the clubs because you want to go. Who in the clubs is kneeling down to lift their hands to God? Some places are consecrated. So when you come to a church gathering like this, it's consecrated. Yes, God may be everywhere, but God is here. God is in us. God is in my neighbor. God is in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So how many of us are going to start living with that recognition in meeting? So let's just stand up. Again, most of these teachings are for us to repent, to change, and to change the way we see things. And we know that the Spirit of God is here. And God works through men. Look at your neighbor and say, God is in you. God is working through you. God is in you. God is here. I recognize you. You are supernatural. This meeting is supernatural. The Spirit of God is working through you. Come on, tell them.